checking. You're tuned in to Say What Radio with your hosts, Justin, Taz, and the other guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Say What Radio. I'm going to start with this one and just say headlines. See what you think. Baseball coach is suspended after he forced his players to spit in his face.
Huh? He loses his damn job.
A Greek man was convicted of stealing electricity despite being dead. Yes. Convicted him after he died.
So he didn't do it before he died.
Yes.
No, okay. He died and rallied over.
It's me.
Say what?
Say what? One more goddamn time.
All right. It is, again, not Wednesday night, but it may be for you. Say What Radio is coming at you guys. Got Real Justice here and have a couple of special guests. So we've been doing something a little bit different, wanting to reach out and partner up with some of the great content creators that are out there, especially in the Houston area and starting to expand out a bit around the world. We've done a few interviews with some comedians and some entrepreneurs, but today we're going the food route, you know, all that yummy in your tummy. We have Dan and Shama from the Sham Foodie Couple. I love that. You'll be able to find them on Instagram. And welcome to the podcast, you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. I am Dan.
I am Shama.
And together we're the Sham Foodie Couple.
Woo! Love that. So tell us a little bit about how you guys got started in this. You know, everyone always says, this is what I had for lunch. And you're like, that's wonderful. You remember those weird status updates?
Oh, yeah. Especially like on Facebook. Yeah, I got it. Hey, this is what I had for lunch. And then you see a sad piece of sandwich just sitting there.
Oh, man. So tell me that's not how you guys got started, right?
No. So I'll start off and then we'll let Shama have some of the spotlight here. But we used to eat out, like while we were dating, we used to eat out a lot. And since we were always working, we were just like, okay, hey, let's go eat here. So we would just go around, eat. And then Shama had a really good idea. I was like, hey, why don't we start our own blog? Since we love eating out anyways, and we're spending all this money anyways. So let's go ahead and just start our own blog. And that's where the idea of it came.
Absolutely. And we tried all different kinds of cuisines. And whenever we would see somebody post something online on their Instagram or on Google, we were like, okay, let's go try that out. I really want to try something different today. Because, you know, you end up eating some of the same stuff over and over. And sometimes it's hard to have ideas. And
yeah,
if we were posting on our own personal pages, we found that we were also influencing a lot of other people. So might as well start a blog.
I love that, being able to, you know, make a little bit of influence happen around the things that you love. You cannot go wrong in that. And speaking as someone who's done it herself, I completely, completely understand. When I talk to a lot of people, especially who are from Texas, they're always surprised at the diversity and the cuisine scene here in Texas being so, you know, vast. They're always thinking, oh, you guys just, you know, eat barbecue. It's like, no, there is some good food down here.
No, I 100% agree. There are a bunch of cuisines, especially like Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex hits on so many different levels with so many different restaurants. You can go to an authentic Mexican restaurant and they would serve the best Tex-Mex that you've ever had versus going like Taco Cabana or like a franchise like Chuy's.
Oh, yeah.
And what we learned is that there are a lot of small, like mom and pop businesses that are actually, you know, due to COVID and the pandemic, they were hit really hard. And
yes,
we believe in supporting small businesses and supporting those as well. So I know there's a lot of franchises out there and there's a lot of places that we all hear about all the time, but we always have a goal to also support these small businesses because of what they went through the pandemic, and they still are because of the shortage of employees and staffing. Yeah. And we still see that.
Very, very true. Very true. So quick question, though. So I remember seeing you guys prior to the pandemic and quarantine and things like that. How were you able to pivot during the time of quarantine and, you know, just everything kind of being shut down, especially with the mom and pop shops? and you know, keep engagement and things going on your social media and just on your blog in general?
So the engagement during the pandemic was honestly better and much, much more fulfilling because people were bored, you know, people wanted to try something different. And so what people mostly did obviously was DoorDash and Uber Eats and deliveries. So the takeout was really big. Takeout was like at its all-time high during the pandemic. You know, a lot of the dining areas were closed and everybody knew that we had to support these businesses. So people were wanting to try different places. The hot chicken concept just exploded during the pandemic and it's hyped. It's all over social media. And I think, you know, during the pandemic, we ourselves, like, we ate a lot of hot chicken sandwiches. And for some reason, we were seeing a lot more people getting into that.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So we went around when we first, we started this blog at around, I would say, June to July, to be realistic. And when we were going around, we were talking to the restaurant owners, we were talking to the managers. 9 times out of 10, they would have hot chicken on their menu. and I really didn't understand the concept behind Nashville hot chicken because it's been here before and the hype wasn't as good and fulfilling as it. The owners of hot chicken, his name is on the hype, it to him was a segment that would move along, especially in Houston, and it would continue to grow. And looking at his idea, when we talked to him 2 years ago about the same thing, when I met him for the first time, at least 30 new places have opened up.
Wow.
If not more.
That's crazy. I didn't realize it had gotten that big. Now, you're right. I do see the hot chicken kind of like all over social media, plated differently and, you know, looking a little bougie and stuff like that. But just give me a nice, juicy, steaming hot and I'm good. I'm good. I don't even need it on necessarily on a plate. I'm good with, you know, those little basket trays that they would have back in the day when you just get them from like a food truck or something. I'm good.
Oh yes, there's so many food trucks that have opened up, and even like when we went recently to the Underground Hall, there was this restaurant called Birdhouse and their chicken was absolutely fire. So I'm guessing it just depends on where you get your chicken from.
Yeah,
and that's where it makes, and then the marination process of it makes the whole bunch of the difference in how you accumulate the taste for hot chicken. I absolutely love hot chicken, but here's the problem. I can't eat it every day if I had to. I really can't.
I don't think anyone can, unfortunately.
Apparently, one of our mutual friends in Austin can.
What?
This man loves eating hot chicken.
Oh, wow. He has a superpower.
I guess so. And he That's gets the crazy. Spiciest one of them out at, like, spiciest one you can get.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I wish, but no. My stomach wouldn't be able to take that at all. Now, I'm a person who loves like flavor and a little bit of spice to it. But yeah, it gets to a certain level. I'm my face is just crying. I just sweat dripping and pouring. I can't. Not every day.
Actually, now, speaking of hot chicken, we actually did the hot chicken sandwich at this food truck in North. Mm-hmm. And they had 5 different sliders of the hot chicken, and
it was a challenge.
I had to beat it in 25 minutes, and they had different spices from like the scorpion pepper to the ghost pepper. It was a mixture of everything combined, and the I think it was like called the grim reaper pepper too. Oh. Or the reaper pepper. Yeah. And speaking of that, they had one sandwich that I didn't know had all of those peppers mixed, and when I ate it, oh man, I had fun, we can say, for the past 2 days after that. It was so much fun.
I was man.
Pulling to work.
Oh, wow.
But I almost completed the challenge. Couldn't finish it all the way. The breading got to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I mean, A for effort, though. Wow.
Yeah, I give myself E for effort.
Yeah, you can do it. But I mean, I stick to the mild and mediums.
Yes.
I can do it because after a while, it just gets to your GI system, and I work in the medical field, so I know that it's not.
That's why I knew I was in good hands. This is why I knew I was in good hands, because I had someone to help me if I would suffer. That's the most selfish way to put it, but it's awesome.
You're in good hands. Oh, I love it.
Sounds like an Allstate commercial right now.
Yeah, right? It's perfect. So, do you have a favorite of the hot chicken? The ones that you guys have tasted?
I have a lot, actually.
Too many.
Okay.
They're all really good.
They're too many, but I would, if you were to ask me my top three,
mm-hmm.
I would probably say Tumble 22. Okay. That's something me and Shoma both like together. It's an Austin branch that had recently scoured towards Houston. And we actually went to both their Austin and their Houston branch, and their menus are different. And even the food itself tastes different.
Mm.
Both good. Both absolutely good. The second one was Screaming Sam's, as we talked earlier. Mm-hmm. Their hot chicken is the most flavorful hot chicken you can get. Their breading doesn't break. And when you bite into it, you have to keep eating it because it just makes you want to crave more. And then third, man, that third one is pretty tough.
What about Skousen?
Skousen, I think I'm 100% on board. That's, I think, one of the first ones we've tried besides, I think, what's that other one in Friendswood?
Blue Mist.
Besides those two, I think that's where my tie would be between Skousen's Kitchen and Blue Mist Cafe.
So there's just so many variations of hot chicken. Like, some are crispy, some are more on the juicy, tender side, and then there's some that are like you know, big in size, and consistency also matters. And some of the hot chicken places, they're not very consistent sometimes. It also depends on your palate. So if you want to eat something that's spicy, then you're going to expect, like for Screaming Sam's, for example, theirs and then Chicken Heads in North Houston, Porter, mm-hmm. theirs are probably one of the, you know, more on the spicier end. So it just depends on what you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for more like a crispy sandwich, or if you're looking for more like a juicier tender, or if you're looking for something more on the spicier end.
And then there's also like flavor. So being able to have that spice kick at the end as you bite in, you need to have that juicy flavor as you're biting. Because after you swallow, you'll have that kick of the spice at the end.
Yeah.
But you need to have something flavorful in your mouth while you're doing it. So the seasonings count, the flavoring counts, and the juiciness as you're biting in counts, right? So I think I'm torn between the two, but there is one more that I personally and Shama personally likes. It's called Yummy's Bites. They have Syrian-based hot chicken, and they have curry sauce on it.
Yeah, more of a curry flavor, and
it's very different compared to the hot chicken that we get here, which is just actual kind style.
Kind of like Southern fried, and then like a little bit of a hot sauce or something.
Seasoning, hot seasoning, or peppers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's unique with the curry base too. That's different. You're giving a lot of options to our listeners. I'm pretty sure the only thing they were thinking about was like, ooh, hot chicken, just food. And then you gave all these different variations of it. And they're going like, okay, should I be looking for that? Ooh, I want that. Because I'm definitely doing that as you guys are rattling this off.
Yeah, they can try so many options, right? That's what we're here for.
Yes, yes. So then let me move to one of my favorite questions. What's your favorite smell? Being people who are, you know, clearly into the food scene and the foodie genre here in Texas, what tends to be like that, or either one of the most unique smells you smell, or just like your favorite smell, like when you just you smell it and you're just like, oh man, yeah, you could have that all day if you want it.
So I got two. First one would be cheese, because I like putting cheese on everything. Last time me and my wife and her brother for her brother's birthday went out to Chipotle. Mm. And I was just like, man, you got to put more cheese on this. This is not enough cheese. So everywhere we go, I love having cheese on everything. And then the second thing I would probably say would be barbecue. I can have barbecue all day. Freaking love making barbecue at home, especially.
I'm pretty sure people are going like, you sound like a Texan.
I guess I got some Texan blood in me after all. But yeah, no, I love making barbecue, especially when it comes to putting a whole bunch of like mixture of spices and mixture of seasoning and flavoring all together. And then we also make some with like yogurt-based flavoring also. And when you put it on the grill, it's amazing.
Oh, now that's different. I haven't had any like that. You know, Texas and, the different places you go, there are different ways that a lot of people cook their barbecue, especially here in Texas. But, you know, if you go to like the West Coast or even, you know, Kansas City and things like that, they tend to be a little bit unique, so to speak. But I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, this is more of a home thing that we made where we marinated together. Yeah.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, you should join us whenever you guys come through.
That'd be awesome.
The other sense I would say that I would really associate with us foodies and we really enjoyed was when we were walking down the aisle of HEB one day, we found this butter tortilla candle. I don't know if you know of HEB, but it's one of the the top trending grocery stores in Houston. So they had this butter tortilla candle and I was just smelling it and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I want to eat this right now.
It actually smelled like pure buttered tortilla.
Wow.
Right out of the grill. Not even the grill, but like
oven. Like
the oven,
making,
yes.
If you're making like, you know, something, you know, when you're making like baked goods and it has butter in it, like that, that aroma just kind of goes through the, you know, the entire house and it's just so good and makes you so hungry, you know? So,
oh, man.
Just smelling that candle, I was like, if I were to have this in the house, like I'd be hungry 24/7.
I bet. See, that's the one thing about HEB, and B is a Texas-based food chain, but I don't know if our listeners know or not. It's actually one of the highest rated companies to work for. Like it beats out like Apple, of course, Amazon, and a lot of other like, you know, big name companies in being, you know, for the employees, they're loving the where they work, and even shoppers just, you know, feeling like they get a great deal and vast selection of items. It's an awesome, awesome store. I would liken it to kind of a upscale Walmart because you can find just about anything in there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We were actually there last night and we were getting balloons for our dog's birthday party.
Yeah, she had a blast too.
But now I'm going to be looking for that candle because I'm a person who loves candles. I always have either some scent, have the little diffuser or something, but oof, I love scents. That's why I always ask that question. Some of the craziest, you know, answers I've gotten from people, it gives you just a little bit of a insight into them. But now I want that candle. I'm definitely going to be looking for it.
Speaking of smell, we got our puppy up. Puppuccino and a puppet patty from In-N-Out. And as soon as she smelled that beef patty, oh man, she was running around. She was literally running around like, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And we had a friend that was over with his pup too for her birthday, for our puppy's birthday. And he was feeding her. She literally would liked it so much. She took the bite out of his hand and just crumbled the rest of the puppet patty.
So cute. How old is the pup?
She just turned one.
Ooh, puppy.
What kind? She's a Maltese Shih Tzu mix.
Oh, that's a lot of hair.
It's a lot of hair, but she doesn't shed, which is good.
Huh. I always thought like the Shih Tzus always, you know, shed a lot just from the amount of hair, but I've never actually had one, so don't take my word on it.
Yeah, so it's more like a hypoallergenic like pup where they don't shed. Like, if the only allergies you'll probably get is when you take them outside to do their business.
Mm.
Because they bring in all the pollen and the germination with them.
Oh, that's a different thing. Living in Houston, man, that's just like one of the worst cities for any type of allergies. You just go outside and you're just wafted by everything. That and a bunch of humidity.
Yeah, I remember before we got married, my brother, I was leaving for something. My brother, we came out. He's like, did you get a paint job? I'm like, no. He's like, what's all that color on your car?
Oh man, during that time, it is crazy. Like you have to keep your car washed because that stuff just sticks to it. It's insane. Ugh. How if you don't mind me asking, but how long have you guys married?
We got married like cord wedded in March. The religious wedding happened this year in February. So we're somewhere in between the two, I would say, realistically.
But yeah, officially, it was this year because we had to wait a whole year due to COVID.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, it's all perception at that point, then.
pretty much. Well, congratulations on your nuptials.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gotta ask about this. I have to. What was the good food that you guys served at the wedding?
Oh man, I think when we had the court wedding at, what was it, Indian Summer?
Yeah,
Indian Summer. We had the court wedding there.
Oh, okay.
Their fusion food with American, it was like Indian mixed with American fusion. Mm-hmm. And it was by far, I would say, the most tastiest we've ever had versus the typical Indian Pakistani food that we served on the other days.
Oh, okay.
So one thing we're a sucker for is fusion concepts and foods that are just a mix of different cultural elements. And Indian summer has like a mix of Indian and American flavors that they put together. So one of their popular items, like it's actually one of their desserts, it's called a gulab jamun cheesecake. So it mixes like an Indian dessert with like an American dessert together. And whenever restaurants do that to blend different food, either you like it or you're more of like, oh, I want like the authentic, you know, like the more authentic side of it. So we're like big, we love fusion food. So that's one of the items that they had at our wedding. And I mean, at your own wedding, you really don't get to enjoy the food. That's one thing we learned as well.
Aww.
Yeah, because you're so busy with family and, you know, everything else. So, yeah. You know, we did get to enjoy a little bit at the end, but, you know, it's just, that's one thing that people learn when they get married. I don't know if you had the same or if anyone else had the same experience, but you're just like, you're just so nervous and you're just trying to get like, you know, through the day and you want to make some clothes fit properly.
Oh, wow. That's well, I guess that would be, you know, if you're kind of like hosting, but they're celebrating you, there's so much that has to be done. And kind of like you were saying, being a little nervous and things like that. We get it. We get it. That's I never thought about it like that, though. Interesting.
But I'm super happy that the fact that they're bringing like two different cultures together, right?
Yeah.
Your food. So that gives a lot of more variety of people that want to try something new versus having the same General Tso's chicken every day.
You know what? What I find is that a lot of people don't like, they know that the stuff is out there, but they're going like, well, okay, if I like General Tso's, what is comparable to it that could be like, you know, something that's fusion related? So they're just like, I'd rather not try since I don't know at all. And which sucks. Like you said, it's some amazing options out there that are just waiting to just blow you away.
Absolutely. And here in Houston, we have so much variety of cuisine. We have Turkish food. We have a lot of halal restaurants. We have, I don't know if you've heard of halal, but it's
I love halal. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. We have like Mediterranean food. We have Japanese food. We have an entire area where they have Asian food. It's called Bel Air. And then we have an entire area where they have multiple Indian restaurants, which is called Hillcroft. And then on Westheimer Street, it's like a long street that like, I don't know. It's like one of the biggest streets in Houston. They have a multitude of Middle Eastern cuisine and halal food. And then the new popping concept, which you probably also have heard about, is birria tacos.
Yeah. Oh, I love those.
Yes. And they're just so cheesy and so meaty. And we like, before the pandemic and before blogging, we had never heard of this.
Really? That I've seen a few of them over there in the Heights area. And that's honestly how I got introduced to it. We were on a pedal party and there was like at that time, I think it was like a food truck festival or something that we were riding by on the pedal party. This was like, it seems like decades ago now, but you know, since we've all been inside for like the past 2 years, I can't remember if it was like late 2019 or 2018, one or the other, where we saw it. And drunk people on a bike, they were just like, I want food. And we were going up to all the trucks, and one of the ones that we went to had the tacos.
Yes.
I can't remember what it was, though.
Yes, and there's a lot of options just in Houston. There's a new food truck that opened up near Westheimer. It's called Dripped Berea.
It's not on Westheimer. That one's on Chimney Rock.
Chimney Rock, sorry. It's called Dripped Berea, and they have a multitude of items. It's like, you know, berea fries and
birria quesadillas, you got the quesa birria tacos, you got the regular birria tacos.
And birria ramen.
Birria ramen, man, that ramen hit so hard. And I'm not a big ramen fan.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome. Birria ramen. I'm not a foodie like you guys, I'm not going to lie. I love to try different things, but I'm not going to blog about it because most of the time it's done before I can even think about taking a picture. That's just me. But ramen, oh, it's just one of those ones where it'll sneak up on you. You're like, oh, this is just a bowl of soup or need some noodles. Oh, by the time you probably get to like your third or fourth like scoop, it is expanding in you, and you're like going like, I got to power through this.
So I think one of the biggest things what I liked about Drip Burrito was their kasume and then their ramen broth. It's all tomato based, so it has more flavor actually while you're eating it.
Ooh.
Versus just it being just broth, right? Beef broth.
So okay.
It's a good like mixture of both, and it actually came out really nice as we were trying it out for the first time. So the different concepts and different ways of how people want to differentiate between each other. Because I mean, there's so many burrito taco places here in Houston since it's such a melting pot. But being able to differentiate why you're different and why people should come to you is on the smaller things when you look at it, on how you change up the consommé or how what kind of burrito beef you get.
Yeah.
And what kind of cheese you use. Like it's just the smaller things that make a difference in the taste and the seasoning and the flavor of the food.
Okay. I completely understand. And I agree. So as you said before, you know, someone who's having the same thing every day, but they want to kind of venture out, what would be a safe beginner step into either fusion or a place to try out just to, you know, start them on their journey?
So what I've noticed is a lot of my friends from school, when we were going out to eat and they were just kind of like, okay, you know, we're not really foodies and we're kind of scared of trying new things. Usually they would enjoy more so like the Tex-Mex route, I would say, because we're, you know, we just have so much Tex-Mex here, and then try more of the authentic like taquerias in Houston. And they have, you know, different kinds of tacos and salsas and drinks as well. So I would say that's probably one of the first things that I would like tell a beginner foodie to, if you want to venture out of the same, you know, fast food or whatever, you know, you're eating. The second thing, I would say this is more on the adventurous side, but I've noticed that some of my friends really, really enjoyed Vietnamese food. So I don't know if you've ever had like a bowl of pho noodles. Like today is a really rainy, like a rainy day in Houston, and that would actually be perfect. You know, just the pho noodles are just so nice and comforting, and if you're just feeling down or sick or whatever, just try that soup, and then they'll give you like these toppings that go with it, like, you know, you can add jalapenos, you can add cilantro, you can add basil, and they'll give you some hot sauce, and you just put it in there and you just sit and enjoy your bowl of soup. They also have like spring rolls and egg rolls, which you can try as well, but that's something that I've seen a lot of my friends that are trying to just try something different. It's not too spicy. It's not like something that's going to be too out of the ordinary for, you know, for a beginner.
Oh yeah. I'm a big pho fan. Like I said, I love to eat food. Being, I was born and raised here in Houston, being exposed to so many different things. Pho was one of the first, I want to say, when I was younger, and just never looked back. That was kind of like my introduction into, you know, trying different types of food and just loving them. And I remember getting my dad, who is 85 years old, onto the pho train to this day. And I'm pretty sure he's probably at home right now calling my sister-in-law to see if her sister has made pho so he can get some. I know he probably is doing that. So It you know, like once you're exposed to it, you'd be surprised how, you know, you're latched onto it. So thank you for giving those options to people to be able to take that first step on their journey in the foodie realm.
So as Jessica was saying, when it comes down to a lot of other people trying to try fusion food, I would say influencing like what we do as bloggers, since there's so many of us, so many counterparts to us. Being able to post a good picture and having the followers look at, or the engagers look at what we post, would be a good other idea of having like brand new people trying to try fusion food or any other food in general.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, cross networking that can be done. There's a lot of different bloggers. We are available to help you, your restaurant, with social media marketing and management. So if you are interested in that, please contact us on our Instagram, social media, and we would love to help you. We would love to help you out.
That sounds like a plan. If I were you, I would sign up right now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it definitely helps the restaurants in getting the word out there. And social media is such a big part of restaurant marketing in this day and age.
And I've seen, like, especially when it comes to, like, platforms as Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I mean, let's just look at Instagram itself, Instagram Reels. They're investing so much money to be part with TikTok when it comes to having content out there.
There's been so many restaurants which you would have not known about unless we had seen it on social media. So that's an example of how we were influenced by social media. So there's just so many people out there that are going through the same process as us, and it really, really makes a difference.
Absolutely. And not only having a good picture or a video up, it's also maintaining the brand's image. And we do a really good job of making sure the brand's known for what it does. So, like my wife said, we're more than happy to help you in any way or form.
Before I let you guys go, I want to ask you one last question. And I'm pretty sure I probably know the answer to this, but I think it's kind of fun to ask. What holiday would you create if you could?
Man, that's a tough one.
No, actually, that's a really easy one. It would be a foodie holiday.
That's exactly true. What I was thinking.
I would think, like, just a day off for people to try different cuisines. You know, maybe like a festival in, you know, downtown Houston, where a bunch of different food trucks come out, restaurants come out, and people just try all the different food that's out there. You know, not just that, like, I'm also open to, like, vegan food. There's a lot of vegan, you know, consumers in Houston, vegetarian, halal. There's also African food too that's big in Houston, and, you know, I feel like that's something that we ourselves need to explore more of. I was born in Africa, actually, so that's something that's close to me, and I feel like in Houston, Dan and I haven't really explored that part of the Houston food scene.
But we went to that one food truck, Senegis Debbie Rabide, and yes, man, their food was amazing.
So there's a food truck in
Westheimer
Food Truck Park, and it's called Debbie Rabide, and they have Senegalese food, which is a part of West Africa. So if you're ever in that area, you got to try it out. And again, they also have a fusion concept. So they have, like, Middle Eastern and fusion concepts dwelled in together with a little bit of Tex-Mex. And man, it was really good.
Remember those plantain burrito?
Oh, awesome. I definitely got to try that.
Huh? Yeah, they had, like, a plantain burrito. It was, like, on point.
Love plantains. Okay, I'm ready to go. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today and just blessing me with all these great ideas and places to try. But go ahead and let everyone know where they can find you and get in touch with you, because I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be a lot of people reaching out wanting more information, and probably some companies or restaurants going like, hey, next time.
Absolutely. So we're on Instagram, and our handle is Dasham Foodie Couple. So if you want to spell it, it's D-A-S-H-A-M. It's a combination of Dan and Shama, and that's how I put it together, Dasham.
As always, please continue to follow us on social media, Say What Radio, for all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. Again, thank you for tuning in. As always, the biggest compliment you guys can give us is to really, really, really share, like, subscribe, review the show on iTunes, Google Play, thumbs up on Facebook, everything. Tell your family, friends about the show. We may not be everybody's cup of tea, but hey, let them listen and we can come to an agreement. You know, you like this, don't like this. But that was funny. Yes, it was. Thank you for tuning in. Catch us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I'm dying in fucking fucked up town. Kid crying in my mouth. Get the fuck out of this country, mother. The fuck is that?
Say what again?